Wonderful privilege to be raised up in a Bible-believing home. It's a blessing to be in a church that fears God, loves God, and His holy word. It's a blessing to be carried to Sunday school and have good teachers that will teach you the biblical stories and show you the importance of applying your life to the principles that God has given to the human race for a happy, healthy life. And I want to give you some of those passages that have blessed me. Well, that was the intent initially. If you want to turn to the third chapter of Proverbs, I was going to go through the Proverbs and just give a few Proverbs. This came to my mind this past week to kind of go to some of the Proverbs that have been a blessing to me, that have really helped me, have governed my conduct in life, that has brought a blessing to me. And I was going to give you some of those passages that have a practical application. I thought, well, this is probably a good lesson to teach on Sunday night. And I was actually preparing that lesson for Sunday night, and it seems like it just kept escalating. I've been reading some of the material and notes of Aaron. He's been sending them to me, and he's going to be teaching on things like wisdom and at the Vacation Bible School at Mount Lebanon. And so this kind of was impressed upon my mind and my heart. Now I want to read from the third chapter of Proverbs. Turn to God's Word, and let's begin in verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace. Do you want to live a long life? Do you want to have a peaceful home and a peaceful presence and a peaceful life? Do you want to have length of days? Then you need to apply the words of the Proverbs to your life. He says, if you'll do that, you'll have length of days, long life, peace. All these things will be added to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them on the tables of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good. Do you want favor and good? Understanding in the sight of God and man. Do you want not only be pleasing in the sight of God and have the favor of God, but also the favor of men? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. Whew. He will. I'm telling you, He will. Years ago, I was asked to write some Vacation Bible School literature. And I could choose any subject from any passage, any story, and I entitled it The Power of the Proverbs. And how important it is that our children be taught these sayings so that they might apply them to their life, because there's power in them. This is the truth of God's holy word. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel. It'll be marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. I'm telling you, this system works. It works. And the presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Oh, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Man here can have application to also women. Happy is the person. Oh, when you find wisdom, happy is the person that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, the gain thereof. It's better than the finest of gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days, so is in her right hand, and in her left hand the riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is the tree of life. to whom that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord, by wisdom, he founded this earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. I'll stop there. I wanted to read the whole chapter. Actually, I'd like to read all 31 chapters. See, Proverbs were designed in the setting of a father or a parent instructing a child. The context demonstrates the importance of us receiving instruction from the Lord on how to live our lives, that our lives might be full of peace, favor, and grace. These are life lessons that we need to apply to our life. God set down these principles. They're basic principles for spiritual living. They're packaged in 31 chapters. If you haven't read the Proverbs in a while, you need to sit down and reread them. Actually, I believe it should be a required reading in every home. In every Christian home, you should require and make your children read through comprehensively the book of Proverbs. This book is the manual on how to live your life. You understand that? See, God gave Solomon wisdom. He asked for it. God gave it to him. I'm of the opinion that when God gives us a gift, he doesn't just give it for us to receive and enjoy it. He gives it for the benefit of others. And when God gave Solomon wisdom, more wisdom than any man had ever received, and more wisdom than any man would ever receive outside of Jesus Christ, he gave it for the benefit of the human race, so that the human race might know how to live. I mean, even in the book of Chronicles, in the book of Corinthians, rather, it tells us about the gifts, and even like the gift of tongues, it was given not for the benefit of the person to speak another language, but it was benefit for the it was a benefit for the unbeliever. Amen. Unbeliever. He used the wisdom of Solomon to construct for us a manual on how to live. Now, I'm a manual reader. I like reading manuals. I'm of the opinion that the engineers at General Motors or at Ford or at Toyota, I believe they're more intelligent than me. They designed this vehicle. So I usually will sit down when I get a new vehicle and I will read the manual. I, for years, have changed my own oil. I've always put 5 quarts in. My dad always changed his own oil. He always put 5 quarts in. My grandfather, he always changed his own oil. And in those old Chevrolet pickups, he always put probably 4.5. Those old Chevrolet six-cylinder, straight six. A little over 4.5. But around 5 quarts, he'd put it in there. But I was looking at the manual. Now, I've got a new vehicle. Everybody knows that. It's a used one. It's an 07. It was Angie's mom's. But I got to reading the manual. It said, you put 6.4. Now, I could do it the old-fashioned way and say, well, I've never done it that way before. I've always put 5 quarts in. I don't believe this engine needs 6.4. Now, I could conform to the manual and have a vehicle that lasts a long time, or I could just do it my way and maybe destroy that vehicle and blow up the engine. I realize that there are people that are smarter than me, and I need their advice and their instruction. I think that's the beginning to conforming to the right way to live your life. I had a cousin who died about a year ago, or it was my cousin's husband's actually. His name was Joe. Some of you knew him. Joe was a wonderful mechanic. He was a gifted, talented mechanic. I mean, you could call him up and say, and he's, you know, on the phone and say, "Listen to this motor run. What's wrong with it?" He'd say, "Well, it sounds like your front O2 sensor's messed up. And since the old front O2 sensor's messed up, if you go ahead and change the back one, because it'll probably go out. You don't want to be stranded somewhere on the highway, because about the same time your front one goes out, your back one goes out. Sounds like that third piston's not hitting just right, and you need to change that spark plug. If you change your gap from 25 to 30, you'd get better gas mileage." And you're like, "Whoa! Wouldn't you like to get better gas mileage?" He knows more about it than I do. And if I would heed his advice, my engine would run properly, it wouldn't break down as often, and I'd get better gas mileage. Because he has a gift. He knows. Solomon was given that kind of gift, and we need to heed his advice. More importantly, this is not just a book from Solomon, this is a book from God. Yeah, yeah. God is the giver of life. Do you believe that? He created us. He created this world. He knows how you function. He knows about civilization. He knows about culture. He knows about the human race. And God is more informed than us. Listen, my friends, you haven't realized this. You need to. God's smarter than you. Amen. He designed you. And so if we want to know how to live our lives, we go to the one who gave us life, who knows about the life of the human race, and we heed his instructions. And those instructions are given in the book of Proverbs. Now, when I was growing up, y'all know some of this. Some of you understand some of this. Excuse me. My dad, he said, "Don't let me tell you twice. God's already told us how to live." Do you hear me? God has told you how to live your life, how to handle all these circumstances and situations in your life. You know, when I was a kid, I thought the only thing in the book of Proverbs was spare the rod, spoil the child. People, there's more in there than that. And I remember when I was about 18 years old and I read this, I was like, "Wow. Wow, there's stuff in here that will tell me how to not just raise my children, but will tell me how to be prosperous and how to have honor and how to handle situations and circumstances, how to handle my money, how to put a filter on my tongue. I mean, how to have happiness and peace all around me. Wow." And all I've got to do is do like this says. Follow the life manual. What is a proverb? Well, a proverb is a very simple principle. Very concise principle. It's a principle stating in a concise term something. We could say a proverb is wise in content and concise in form. Now, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for its pointed, pithy statement. There's a purpose for this kind of instruction. You know what the reason is? It's so that you might remember it. They're concise statements that you can remember so that when you find yourself in this circumstance, like you're dealing with somebody who's angry with you, you can remember the proverb. A kind word, what? Turneth wrath. And so they're concise statements that you might, that they might be logged into your memory bank so that when you come upon a circumstance or a situation, you can apply that circumstance or that situation to the proverb. So, let's look in chapter 6 and verse 22. The book gives us different circumstances of life and different proverbs. And he tells us over and over again throughout this, he says, bind them, verse 21, bind them continually upon your hearts. Tie them about your neck. What was he talking about? He was talking about these instructions, these proverbs, these statements, these instructions on how to deal with circumstances, take them and bind them constantly upon your heart. Tie them about your neck. And he says, when you wake up, when you're walking down the road, when you're asleep, he says, when thou goest, it shall lead you. When you, what would lead you? He's not talking about the Holy Spirit. Listen, we also are led by the Holy Word. One of the big mistakes we've made is we think we need spirit and nothing else. You need something else. You need instruction from God's holy word. Amen. And he says these instructions found in the book of Proverbs, when you get up in the morning, they'll lead you every day. Amen. Every single day of your life. They will lead you. And he says, it shall lead thee. We, even when you're asleep, do you realize that there is a prescription given in God's holy word where you don't need sleep medicine? Not only does this book of Proverbs give us advice, but it tells us if we would heed that advice, we'd have long life, and when you lay your head on your pillow at night, you'll have sound sleep. Do you believe God's holy word? Hey, yeah, we'd put the drug industry right out of business. Poor Aaron, he'd be out of a job. Selling that sleep medicine and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Do you guys realize the cure for some of these things that ail us and that make us sick? Some of the things that cause ill health? Some of the things that keep us from sleeping at night? Some of the things that cause us problems? They are the result of us not following the blueprint that God has given the human race on how to live. Sometimes I just want to say, well, you're just bringing it upon yourself. So God has given us these memorable... I need to read a little more of chapter 6. He said, it shall lead thee when you're asleep. It shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with you. Do you realize that if you will apply yourself to the Word of God, you'll hear the Word of God when you're walking around, doing stuff, working, driving down the road, you'll hear the Word of God? I mean, it'll come. If it's really in your heart, you'll hear it. I mean, not externally, not with your natural ears, no, but in your heart, in your mind, you'll hear the Word of God. When circumstances come up in your life, you hear the Word of God on how to handle it. Proverbs is the best book for all circumstances that we face. I mean, when I started reading the book of Proverbs, I'm like, wow, there's stuff in here on how to have a good marriage, you know, how you're, you know, about your wife and how pleasurable that can be. It talks about a variety of things with regard to a longevity of life and your money and all these things. They're all in the book of Proverbs. Listen, our children need to know this. When sinners entice thee, consent not. They need to know these proverbs. When they allure you with fascination and excitement, like the proverb talks about, consent not. It tells us about the trouble and consequences of those things. He says the commandments is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction. They are the way of life. In other words, God is saying, I want to show you the way to live your life. Let me show you how to live your life and have peace and longevity of life and honor and favor with God and favor with man. Do you want those things? Well, it's right here in this book of 31 chapters. I believe in our time, this book is one of the most neglected books there is. I believe that our society and most people today, they think they're smarter because they have a computer. And they'll search the internet on how to live rather than consulting God's holy word. Do you realize how much trouble? And you know, this advice that you get out there in the world that you're Googling is not coming from God. You do realize that, don't you? You can get some bad advice, trivial advice. You know, they say, like, for instance, you know, the best way to raise your kids is, like, show interest in their interests and go to their ball games and be their friend. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to be a father, a mother, and a parent to that child and teach them the things of the Lord. Amen. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what you need to do. Just being a good buddy to them will mess them up sometimes. Now, when they get older and more mature, then you can be their friend. But as long as they're under your care and under your counsel and under your instruction, as long as they're the child and you're the parent, that role needs to be played out in your life, and you need to give them the right kind of instruction. Teach them the things of the Lord. So, what is Proverbs? Well, it's a collection of these concise, wise statements. So these become the book or the basis of which truth is presented to us to show us how to live out our lives receiving divine instruction. Again, the book of Proverbs is a manual for you on how to live out your life. I feel like Paul Harvey, page one. You know, the one word that I guess dominates the book of Proverbs is the word wisdom. 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 There are other words in conjunction with wisdom, like the word instruction. It appears also, or understanding, or discretion, or discernment. Those words appear, but all of these words are simple elements of wisdom. To know, to understand, to be instructed, to have discernment. All of these things mean to act or to live out our lives wisely. Wisely. Wisdom means not simply thought, but conduct and action. What you do in a circumstance determines whether or not you're wise. Has nothing to do with what you're able to comprehend or contain in that big brain of yours, or small brain, whatever the case may be. But it's how you respond and how you act determines whether or not you are wise. And in this book, it's very clear, like in chapter 3 and verse 7, to avoid or depart from evil is wisdom. Wisdom in the book of Proverbs is teaching us how to live righteously. Listen, one of the principal things you need is the favor of God. And there's no way you can ever have the favor of God unless you're striving to live righteously. God's blessing will be nowhere around you unless you're trying to live righteously, as we read in verse 7. God is telling us spiritual wisdom is the noblest and greatest and purest pursuit of life. You can live no better life than pursuing wisdom. Let's look in chapter 1 and verse 20 just for a moment. Let's notice there how that wisdom is shouting, how that wisdom is personified. It's like a voice of a woman, a screeching voice of a woman. If you heard a screeching voice of a woman, would that grab your attention? If you were going down Nashville and you heard a screaming voice of a woman, a screeching voice of a woman, would that grab your attention? God is trying, listen to me, God is personifying wisdom as a crying, screaming, shouting woman to get your attention. Listen, my friend, you need this instruction. You need it. You need it. Verse 20, wisdom is shouting out of the street. Wisdom is lifting up her voice in the square. She's crying out. Verse 22, but people, she's crying out for them to turn. These novice, these simple. Let's look in verse 22. How long are you going to live your life in stupidity? Are you with me? God is setting forth wisdom as a woman shouting out and crying. It gets your attention. You listen and it says unto you, why are you living your life in stupidity? Change, 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 change. It's time to change. Why? How long, ye simple ones, will you live in simplicity? And the scorners delight in scorning. Fools hate knowledge. Verse 23, turn ye at my reproof. Change. Stop living your life the wrong way. Are you with me? That's the first thing wisdom cries out. Stop living the wrong way. Start living the right way. If you ever want the blessings in this book, it'll only come through changing the way you live your life. So, the call of the whole book of Proverbs is that call, a call to wisdom, to living right, to doing right. Chapter 2, wisdom crying out. The call by wisdom comes at the end of chapter 1 as wisdom is personified, cries out, and cries out to men to come to her. Come to wisdom. And in chapter 2, we read in verse 4, it says, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure. Listen, this thing is not going to be easy. It's not handed to you on a silver platter. You're going to have to be diligent and strive and seek after wisdom in order for wisdom to be enjoyed in your life. It doesn't come automatically. You seek for it. Oh, but it's like silver. Search for it. It says hidden treasure. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord. All right, the first thing that you'll discern if you truly, honestly want to have the wisdom of God, the first thing that will come into your life is the fear of the Lord. In chapter 9, it tells us in the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In chapter 4, it tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's the first primary purpose. If you start pursuing the wisdom of God, the first thing will come to you is the fear of the Lord. So, the overarching lesson in this manual of life is the pursuit of wisdom. Chapter 10, verse 1, it says that the wise son will make his father glad. Or the wise child will bring great joy to his father and mother. I want to say this, my children have brought me great joy. Both of them. They make a father glad. Oh, I'm so glad. God has been so good to me. You just don't realize how blessed I am. You really don't. I wish I could just show you how blessed this way is. Living for the Lord is the blessed life. Man, there's stuff that the Lord will do for you that'll just blow your mind. I've always told them, it doesn't matter what you do in life. I don't care. I don't care what you become. You can be what occupation you choose. You can be a garbage man. That's fine. I'll love you the same. Just whatever you do in your life, honor God. Please the Lord. Serve the Lord. Get wisdom. Everything starts, listen to me, everything starts with fearing the Lord. Fearing the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. Son, he says, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. It's important for everyone to have a reverent fear of divine things as well as a reverent fear of Jehovah God. Bible says there'd come a day when there'd be no fear before their eyes. Do you realize that if you just start fearing the Lord, that puts you on the right course? You don't fear God. I can tell by the way people live their lives, they don't fear the Lord. I couldn't live that way. I couldn't say those things. I couldn't act that way. I fear the Lord. Do you understand what I'm talking about? First of all, I think it begins with a positive aspect, a reverential respect, a reverential awe. God is not like us. God is omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He is majestic. He is the Almighty. He's not a man like us. He's God. He's God. His immutability, his nature never changes. He's just. He's holy. He's righteous. He's merciful. He is the Almighty God that created heaven and earth. And everything is controlled by him. He's God. I mean, angels circle his throne and cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." He's God. He's not like us. I believe in living life to its fullest means living out our lives with a conscious awareness of this holy God and our need for not only of a fear of him, but our need of his favor. I want to be pleasing unto the Lord. You need the favor of God. You need God in your life. So it begins with a fear. There's also a negative aspect of this. The negative side of fearing God is fearing his displeasure. See, if you really have the right fear of God, you know he has the right to chasten you. I read in your hearing, in this third chapter, "Son, despise not," verse 11, "the chastening of the Lord." The Lord has a right to chasten you. He has a right to judge you. He has a right to test you. He has a right to try you. He has a right to punish you for your sins. Amen. God has a right to punish me when I sin and when I do wrong. That's a reverent, negative fear of God having a right and apprehending that right to punish us over our sins. It begins with fear. It ends with favor. Do you fear the Lord? Do you really fear the Lord? Huh? Children, listen to me. You're going to stand before a holy, righteous, just God that gave his only begotten Son to save you from your sins. And he's asked you to come to him and seek him out and trust him to be your Savior. Listen, there's a penalty attached to rejecting Jesus Christ. You need to fear God. You're going to face God in judgment. And you need to fear him. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. Having a reverent awe. God loves you. He wants to save you. He knows you need his Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem you from your sins. And he provided redemption for you. So as we stand and sing a verse of some song, I want to encourage you to heed the book of Proverbs where it says, the beginning of wisdom, it all starts with fearing God. Reverently fearing God. Trusting the Lord. The word trust in the Hebrew is a very unique word. It means to fall down on your knees and put your face to the ground, to just lay submissively before him. And it says in the book of Proverbs, those that trust the Lord receive the blessing. And I want to encourage you to fall prostrate before this holy God and look to his Son, Jesus Christ, for saving grace. Let the congregation stand as we sing.